Shalom, and welcome to the Remnant Radio Hour, where we're living and learning a restoration lifestyle. This is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy, and we had a guest scheduled from Israel, Alex Barak. However, he's had a recent surgery, and so he is not able to join us from Israel tonight. However, I would encourage you, Alex is scheduled along with Bruce Brill and Moshe Osri and Nir Nitzan to be at Manna Sukkot, which is called this year Jubilee Sukkot 2015. And you can find out more information by going to manna.events. There is, an updated schedule there. If you are interested in being in the marketplace, we have, I think, two marketplace vendors tables left. You can contact me at nitza@remnantremedy.net or go to remnantremedy.net/radio. Or just go to remnantremedy.net and hit contact. Actually, if you go to remnantremedy.net right now, you will notice that our link to the radio is gone and our link to our Living Stones is gone. However, you can still go to those sites. It is remnantremedy.net/radio for the radio archives and livingstonestabernacle.org. And we're working on the website and some things are going on. The heat is everywhere. And so I'm going to get into the heat and the fires. But I do encourage you, if you don't have a place for Sukkot and you would like to join some people, the main theme that Father has seemed to be putting together is we have these brothers from Israel, Jewish brothers, who are coming to Sukkot in Lebanon, Oregon. And that is at Camp Tadmor. And we are going to be listening to them and having them share with us. Many of these gentlemen made Aliyah from America to Israel. And they're going to share what is like to live over there. What is it like to move over there? What is it like to be a settler? What's the difference between the life there and the life here? And they're all waiting for the Mashiach and for the return of the lost house of Israel. And they welcome us with open arms to all those who wish to embrace Yahweh's covenant. So I encourage you again to go to remnantremedy.net/radio. And if you click on Moedim or Israel, you will see the interviews that we have done with them. And, if you can, go to their websites or contact them. Last week we had Nir Nitzan, and he is a tour guide. And Hamas had hijacked his website. So we just put his email on there because they have to put up a whole new website. And if anybody out there does that for a ministry or business, you know how devastating that can be. So, but he does do tours, and Moshe Osri has a Judaica store, and again, all these gentlemen will be at Sukkot in Lebanon, Oregon, Father willing, and the creek don't rise, and the fires don't take over. One other thing, if you go to remnantremedy.net and look under books, under Shimon, we have a category of books. Excuse me, I'm losing my breath. There's a lot of smoke in the air here. Hang on just a second. Sorry about that. We have so much smoke in the air here. Anyway, if you go there for the books, we have this wonderful book. You can go to Living Manna, or you can go to remnantremedy.net, under Shimon, under books. And there's this beautiful, beautiful illustrated book called Enter His Gates to Your Jewish Roots by Susan Marcus. And this beautiful book has these wonderful pictures. We're selling this book. They were donated to help raise money to help IDF soldiers and to help bring some brothers over from Israel to Sukkot to help pay for their airline tickets. I think we have either 2,000 or 4,000 of these. And again, they will help support our brothers in Israel and the IDF soldiers. And it covers, the contents has things like the Torah, the menorah, the mezuzah, the skull cap, the prayer shawl or the tallit, the shofar, the Shabbat, Havdalah, the three feasts, like Passover, Shavuot, Sukkot. And there's even recipes in here. Hanukkah, Purim, blessings, Tefillin, and the seven species, the breastplate, and the Jewish calendar. And it's so beautifully illustrated and just a nice overall introduction to your Jewish roots of your faith. And it's only $20. And I believe if you go to Living Manna or manna.events, there's a special. If you buy, I think, 3, you get 1 free. They make wonderful, wonderful gifts, especially like during the time of Tabernacles when we take up an extra offering to give and to bless someone or just to share with other people. So let's... Okay, so let's move on. First of all, I'd just like to take a moment and pray. We, you know, I personally live in presently North Idaho. Okay, and we had 2 years ago, we had to move from Northwest Montana. Actually, it was kind of interesting. My husband worked in Troy, Montana. And he worked at a silver and copper mine there, and it collapsed. There was a very small earthquake, and there's hardly ever earthquakes up there. But supposedly that's what happened. I have other ideas, but it collapsed. And so, of course, you know, like 250, 300 people were out of work. And so we had to search for another job, and we ended up through another brother and sister who we had met in Montana, who had moved to Idaho, tell us about a job down here. And so we ended up getting a job nearby, and we actually now live in Troy, Idaho. So, and having been here this year in Northwest Montana and here, and that's only about four and a half hours difference as far as driving time goes, we have fires everywhere. I mean, we are talking 20, 30, 40 fires in Montana, Idaho, Washington, Oregon, and it really seems that as we are ending out the Shemitah year and going into the Jubilee, that Father is really waking up and literally putting on the heat. We last winter in this area, part of the country, the whole Northwest, did not get the snow and the snowpack that we needed to water many of the crops and farmers around here. Didn't get crops. When you drive down the road now, it can be dangerous when there's not a fire just because the ground is so thick with dirt and dust when the combines are trying to cut down the crops that they didn't get, but they're trying to cut it down. I think part of it is for prevention of fire. And so when they're cutting, they'll be like this, like this little hurricane of smoke across the roads and you can't see. I mean, it's just like black. And sometimes you just, all of a sudden you're driving and that's what happens. And that's not even a fire. That's not even smoke. That is just dry, dry dust. I drove to Oregon a few weeks ago to speak and teach. And then also, of course, to check out and work on this Sukkot, getting things ready, working with Manna from Heaven Ministries and Pastor Dave Matthews. Make sure you check out their website. I think it's livingmanna.net. I went to the Love for Israel conference. And when I went, I had to use my windshield wipers, not for rain, but to get rid of dirt. I went through a whole gallon of that window cleaner so that I could clean my window. So just trying, for those of you who live in the South, in the Midwest, and of course you guys get the tornadoes and you get the floods. Well, we're getting the fires. And so then in the springtime, we really didn't get the spring rain that we usually get. And so now it has just been hot and very dry. We have believers, brothers and sisters that we fellowship with about every month or every 2 months, because we travel around about an hour to two in different areas to fellowship. We have some now who are evacuated from their homes, at least a couple of families that we know of. We can't get a hold of them. The cell towers aren't working. Sometimes the internet's not working. That could even happen here. And what concerns me, besides praying for all these people, and right here in this little town, where we're only like 25, 30 miles away from most of these fires, or even closer, and people are by the droves trying to come out and bring food and furniture and clothing and anything they can, because some of these places, and most of these towns are only like maybe 300 to 800 people. But they're all scattered throughout, and they're burning. And the homes are burning, and these people are losing everything because this is either cropland or forest, cropland or forest. And instead of working at the mine, now my husband works for a logging company. He's a heavy diesel equipment mechanic. And so one of my concerns now is, you know, do we need to be ready and on alert in case we need to evacuate? And even scarier, and this is happening to many of our brothers and sisters who are over the mountain on the other side here of me, where do you go? Because almost in all four directions, there are fires and there is smoke. Over the last month, we do not have a clear day. Every day is smoke. I've been having some breathing problems, and you know, I've never been a smoker, but it's difficult. So we really, I just want to take a moment here to pray about that. Even in Montana, where some of my children and family live, they are having evacuations in the nearby areas. And we're talking thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of acres. Most of Northwest Montana is only 5 to 7% privately held. Everything else is national or wildlife, federal land. And so Washington has been hit so hard. We've got firefighters who are just dying, and my husband, who's a mechanic, and the loggers, it looks like they are starting to pull every man that they can to help fight these fires. Although, you know, they're having to pick which fires to even fight, because there's no way, there's just not enough manpower. There's not enough resources. So to me, I feel in my spirit that we have definitely entered into a 7-year period of famine and tribulation. I've been watching Shemitahs for the last 21 years. Before I knew they were called Shemitahs, I had seen that pattern over and over. And I just really believe we're coming on some heavy times and heavy, hard times. And we have been stuck with not knowing what to do with, you know, we haven't been able to find a rental that really facilitates our ministry and our home. It's very difficult to find a place, you know, find a rental at all, really, because we're talking about a bunch of little small towns. So we have 5 storage units, and we have given away and sold truckloads of stuff since we had to downsize and lost our home and everything in Montana. So, but we're sitting here going, Father, we live on the apex of a hill. So the mailman doesn't deliver the front door because the road in front of the house is higher than the house, and there's no place to park. There's no place to park on the backside. Because there's an apex road that goes up, and as soon as you hit the top where our house is, it goes straight down. And in the wintertime, if it's ice, you just slide down. And so when it's icy, I don't go anywhere because there's no way I can stop before I get to the bottom of the hill where the crossroads. So, you know, we've been praying, Father, what do? We can't find a place to rent. You know, we like the place we're at. It's just difficult in the location. What do we do with all the stuff in storage? Are we supposed to keep it and keep paying for it? You know, how do we get rid of it? You know, we don't have the manpower or the resources or a place to even have yard sales. And so now what we have done in the last 2 days, it seems like Father's showing us what to do with some of this stuff. And that is, we are just taking it out of the storage unit and giving it away to these people who have lost their homes. And, who are in desperate need. So let's just take a moment and let's just pray for these people. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Elohim. You are the great Elohim, and you know what is happening, and you are in control. Father, I thank you for your mercy, and I pray for your mercy, Father. I pray that you would continue to serve us with your love and your mercy, and that you would show us. And Father, we ask for rain. And Father, when it's this dry and there's no rain, and the rain is so much like your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, your life, even Shemin, Shemayim, the fragrant waters of the heavens, Father, we realize in the physical how desperate we need and how desperate we want to have your living waters, Father. And we just ask that you would be merciful. There's supposed to be some high winds tomorrow, Father, and we just ask that those high winds would not cause any more devastation and more fires, but you would, with that, bring rain, Father. We just thank you and we just praise you, Father, and for all of your brothers, our brothers and sisters out there, Father, who are going through this hard time. We just ask that you make provision for them. Cause us to wake up and get out of our dullness of senses, Father. And I know that's exactly what you're doing. And for those who don't know you, Father, I just ask that you will send your servants. You will move on the hearts of the people to do kind deeds towards them, Father, and to be a witness to them so that they might come and see that there is a living God and that you do love them and that you do care for them. And that from these ashes, Father, these literal ashes, you will bring them forth and refine them. And you will refine your body, Father, your bride, who needs to be purged. And that you will make the place and the time ready for us to regather, to return. Help us, Father, not to continue to be sold out as slaves and reduced over and over. Like before the last Exodus, Father, they were hungry. They had to send out for grain. And people sold everything they had for food. And they sold their land, and then they sold themselves, Father. And Father, if this is the pattern that has to happen again, I just praise you and I just thank you that you are working it for the good and that you will give us your Ruach, your presence, Father, that we will be able to walk with your presence. Because if we have your presence, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we can walk through any fire. If we have your presence, we can walk through any tornado, any hurricane, any destruction, Father, any sword, if we just have your presence. And we just beg of you, Father, give us your presence. Let mankind see their need for you to touch them, that they can't just reach out and grab you anytime they want. That they need to honor you and respect you so that you will respond to them in their call and their time of need, Father. I just thank you for your mercy. I ask for your continued presence and guidance for all of your people throughout the world, Father. It's hot everywhere, and we haven't even seen the things fall out of the sky yet, Father. The things that will burn and scorch. We just thank you that you will hide us and keep us within that fire, that we can walk through it like your servants again, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That we would determine that even if we die, we will refuse to bow down and obey the enemy and rather obey you and walk through the fire with you, Father. Please be there with us, with your presence. We thank you and we praise you by your power and by your name, Yahushua. Amen. All right. So, of course, I wasn't quite ready for today's show because at the last minute I found out my guest wasn't here. So I guess what we're going to do is something I've wanted to do for a while, and we probably won't have enough time to go into it. We're going to change gears a little bit here. First of all, just to let you know, if you're listening to this show, when this show is airing, it is August the 20th, 2015, and I will be leaving on August the 31st, Father willing, that I'm allowed to fly and I can get from here to Spokane. There's lots of fires. Maybe Father has other plans, but I am scheduled to fly to Florida and spend some time with my second daughter and see my mother. And then I'm going to fly back and be back here September 9th. And so if you order from Remnant Remedy, my husband will be here to fill the orders at night when he gets home from work. But I just want you to know things may be delayed, especially if they're blends. But if you order then, please know we will start sending the orders as soon as I get back if there's a snag. And because of my being gone, and also because just within 2 weeks after that, we will be leaving for Oregon to celebrate Sukkot, Father willing. We are going to run a special between now and October. I believe it's October 4th. So if you're listening to this show, you will know that you can use a coupon code, a coupon code, all upper cap letters, Sukkot, S-U-K-K-O-T, 2015. And if there's anything on the website that you don't see, it doesn't mean we don't have it. We are just growing very rapidly, and we're in this transition where we are bottling and pouring and labeling and doing everything from scratch. And it's been a wonderful transition, but it's also, you know, we just can't keep up until we get everything in place and established. So, you know, like today I had some orders. We got them out within 2 hours. But other orders have been taking, you know, 7 to 10 days before we can get them out, depending on what they are, especially when we need a new blend. And so, and I'll explain a little bit of that because we're going to talk about oils today. We're gonna go into some of that. So again, if you're listening and you're listening during this time, there is a coupon available from August 20th. To, I believe it's October 4th, and it's all uppercase Sukkot, S-U-K-K-O-T, 2015. And again, the oils and the linens and the EMF shields are all things that we do as a family business and a family ministry, but it really helps support the ministry and the things that we do that we don't even talk about, that we've been doing for quite a long time, especially when it comes to single mothers and women and children, and helping people relocate, etc., to the Northwest. Okay, so I just wanted to make sure we got that out of the way. All right, so I think what we're going to do is we are going to start, and eventually I will get these up on the website. Actually, I take that back. I'm probably going to reserve it for the book. I had been putting all this together for a book, and I had lost my drive. I completely lost all my work I had done for the year on pre-records and things, but I had found some printed copies. And so what I'm working off today are some printed copies, and they were things that were going in the book. So I'm going to have to retype and reissue them. Also, one more thing before I get into the extraction methods for essential oils. I want you to know, if you go to remnantremedy.net and you go down to the very bottom of the page, it'll say satisfaction guaranteed. And if you click that on, it is outdated as far as the blends and things, but there's still really good information in there. I think there's like a 40-page PDF, which is basically a sampling, just a portion, actually, of a book that I've been working on that I have to restart on. But there's a mini PDF there that you can download. And what you can do with that is you can look up the essential oils, and there's just a brief mini description. Now, we have much longer descriptions on the website when you click on a certain oil. And our blends are changing. We are reblending. We've got new blends, etc. But it's good because most people, when I go to their homes or something, you know, they show me. They've taken it, they printed it, they put it in a notebook, and they use that. And sometimes they print and put our articles on there from the newsletters and the blog site at livingstonestabernacle.org. And so one of the ways, though, to use that is when you download it, you can do a find and search. So let's say you were looking for blends with lavender in it. If you typed in lavender, it would take you through the document to every place with lavender. If you were looking for, say, something like diabetes, you could click in typing diabetes, and it would take you to the oils that are associated with diabetes. Now, again, this is a brief mini description, and I think it's at least 40 pages, but it's a start. The other thing I want to say to you is please, I can't encourage you enough to go to remnantremedy.net and go to Shimon, click on Shimon, and go down to the books. We are so happy to carry some of these books that are actually used in aromatherapy certification, and helps you learn how to blend and use and do things and not just be dependent on a multi-level marketing company. You can use these if you're in multi-level marketing and if you're not. And I really encourage you to look at the book, the complete book of essential oils and aromatherapy that we have for sale. We also have aromatherapy for a healthy child. And, you know, many of you, especially when we were doing the Rebuilding Isha series, we had a lot of people who were dealing with a lot of emotional pain and trauma, people with bipolar, people with depression. And we've had some awesome praise reports that show that I Rebuilding Isha that I did with Jessica Arianas, and the show that I have done a few shows with Brooke Lounsbury. They both have their own show here on Messianic Lamb Radio, so don't miss their shows. And we talked about some really hard stuff. We talked about suicide. We talked about you know, being modest and some things about sexuality and stuff, because we know that the bride, us men and women who claim to be in covenant with Elohim, we need to get physically, emotionally, and spiritually healthy. And I have actually heard back from several who have repented of some things and or through essential oils and herbs and prayer. They are either reducing or are off their psychotropic medications. And so one of these books that we now carry is called The Fragrant Mind, and it's aromatherapy for personality, mind, mood, and emotions. And so those are three excellent books to start with. If you're looking for, you know, a nice reference book, and they've got recipes and all kinds of things in them. So, all right, I guess we got through all of that. Now, what we're going to talk about is extraction methods for essential oils. And this was something I was putting together for the book. And again, please bear with me. I'm going to be mostly reading because I hadn't spent the time memorizing and going through this because I thought I was having a guest today. But here is, we're going to do an overall review of extraction methods. You know, there's lots of things that a lot of people just don't consider when they use essential oils. You know, it's really important that we know what species we're using. Sometimes it's important to know where that species comes from, even if it's the same, because the quality may be better or less depending on where it's grown. So those are important. Some people have some common names for things that aren't the same name when we're looking at the species. And also, you know, we've got to look at precautions. You know, what a lot of people overlook is that, you know, you can't just take all oils internally. I don't care if they're considered generally safe for ingestion or not, because, I mean, first of all, one of the biggest problems we have today is, I'm going to guess, I in fact, someone told me, I think they said it was 9 out of 11 people are on some type of medication. And so these drugs and medications are going to have an effect or can have a reaction with an essential oil. In fact, there are some essential oils you shouldn't probably even smell, depending on your situation, and also when you're pregnant. And so, you know, one of the big things that goes out there, especially in the MLM companies, is, well, are your oils good enough to take and ingest? Because that is kind of the rule of thumb, is whether or not your oils are good enough or pure enough. And that's just not true. And I encourage you to go to livingstonestabernacle.org and read the article that I have posted there under Shimon on that topic. Because, again, it depends, you know. Can you or can you not take an oil internally? Should you or should you not take one internally? Should you or should you not smell one? Should you or should you not put one on topically? It really depends. And so, you know, for instance, let's just look at rose for a minute. There is Rose Otto, which The ATO in and of itself usually denotes that it is the essential distilled oil. There is rose enfleurage, and then there is a rose absolute. And many times it's not clear whether or not something is an absolute. And so when you get this rose, you need to know that, because if you depending on how you're going to use it, you know most people don't drink rose, although I know people who have rose in their tea. You know, there's jasmine actually is the same way. A lot of times that's with flowers. The thing is this, you don't want to be putting an absolute in your mouth. You don't want to be taking it internally, because it's an absolute has been extracted by some kind of solvent, and the type of solvent they use may be something that you should not have in your body. So there's a lot to consider. And remember, our three enemies to essential oils are, we don't want to leave the lids open and get oxygen, changing the chemistry of them. We don't want to expose them to light, and we don't want to expose them to heat. So that's why we keep them in a cool, dark place. That's the best place. We have carrying cases now. We have different carrying cases than we had before. So you put them in there. It helps keep them cool, especially when you're traveling. Keeps them dark. You can put them in there, you know, and put them up in the cabinet. So let's start with the first page of extraction methods for essential oils. There are many methods for extracting the vital resonating life force from plants, which is normally called an essential oil or an essence. The Hebrew word for essential oil or ointment is shemen. I did do a teaching called His Name is in Shemen, or Blessed is Shemen, but here at Messianic Lamb Radio, we're going to have the third annual God Week, and I believe that's October 30th, and I want to say 31st, and October 30th, 31st, and November 1st, and so we're going to have a virtual online conference. And so this is going to be hosted by Messianic Lamb Radio, like they've done for the last couple of years, but they're going to make this a virtual conference style. So we would really like for you to join us. And, you know, if you just go to messianiclambradio.com, you will see all the guest speakers. And I think I'm teaching Friday morning. And His Name is in Shemen is part of what I'm talking about, and I did kind of do a show on that once, but it's really going to be much more detailed than that, because what I'm really going to focus on within that, because of what Father's been showing me, is do we have the shemen, the oil, or the breath, because the root of shemen is shem, like we say Hashem, his name, which is the power, character, and authority, and more so the breath of the living God. Do we have the shemen to pray, praise, and proclaim his name, his shemen, his shem? Okay, and so since the theme this year for God Week is going to be pray, praise, and proclaim his name. So pray, praise, and proclaim. So I'm just going to focus in on those words of Shem and Shemen and breath and the heavenly fragrance and the earthly fragrance. And do we have the breath? Because the virgins, they didn't just, you know, either they had the oil or they don't. But if you look at oil, which is Shemen, which the root of that is Shem, the question is, did they have his breath? If you have his breath, you have his ruach. If you have his ruach, you have his presence. Okay? So, Shemen is used for spiritual, emotional, and physical healing. So, you know, most people call them essential oils. I like to focus on all that's encompassed in the root of that, and his name, and his power, his character, story, his breath, and the word shemen in Hebrew. Therefore, it's very important to use the proper extraction process best for each plant according to its unique properties and chemical composition. This helps ensure that the shemen remains at its highest frequencies and purpose for healing and that it is not defiled or adulterated. And, you know, really, honestly, the more I'm in this field and sourcing and trying to go directly to distillers and work with the wholesalers and the distillers behind them, again, just like everything else in our life, the bottom line is the integrity of the people you're dealing with. I don't care what kind of rules, regulations, grading, you know, so-called hoo-ha that says we got this kind of standard and this kind of standard. Most all those standards can be broken or they have loopholes to go around them. And the bottom line is the integrity of the people that you're dealing with, whichever, whoever's oils you use. That's really the bottom line. And it's sometimes really hard to sit back and see and know that things are being adulterated and the marketing programs and all the money that they've got into their lawyers and chemists, etc., are, you know, fooling the people. So it's very important to know the integrity. In ancient Hebrew, Shemen is written as Shin, Mem, or Nun, excuse me, and Nun. And so we have the picture of the Shin in ancient Hebrew looks like the two teeth, front teeth pressing down. We have the Mem, which is like the fluid or the watermark. And then we have the Nun, which is like the seed or the sperm. And so when we look at each of these, the Shin can mean to be pressing or pressed or sharp or to eat or the number two. Mem can mean fluid, water, blood, chaos, flowing, mighty. And the word Nun can mean sprout, seed, sperm, to continue, an heir, like an heir to the throne or an heir to the family. Thus, we could interpret Shemen to be defined as the pressed fluid from that which sprouted, or the pressed fluid of the life, or the seed. And if you've heard me teach, you know that it always goes back to Dabar, the word, the living word, which can be, again, interpreted as the vibrations or frequencies put in order from the beginning. And we know today from technology that can measure and show us these things, that all things created have a resonance or a frequency, seen and unseen, and a presence. And so, and this isn't even going into looking at the fact that Shemin has a root to it called Shem, which is the power, character, authority, and the breath, the literal breath of Elohim. Thus, the pressed fluid or oil or the lifeblood from the sprouted plant is what we call an essential oil or Shemin. Now, let's just take a little look at the history of distillation and or extraction methods. Historically, many cultures, such as the Egyptian, the Greek, the Chinese, the Arabic, have all been credited with the discovery of extraction and or distillation of essential oils. And there is a difference between the extractions and or distillation. I couldn't understand why Israel did not get credit for this. However, because it's recorded all throughout history, however, the way they did it in the early ancient days in the Mishkan was they actually, from what I understand, studying with the Torah teachers, is that they actually did not distill it because distillation was discovered later. What they did was they infused or they macerated the oil, and which, by the way, I do not have on the website, but we do process and sell and macerate frankincense and myrrh and make a salve or an oil blend with olive oil, and I think we're going to be doing one with jojoba oil. We do sell it. It's just we don't usually ever get it to the website because we sell it very quickly when we talk to people. And so what we do is we take the raw resin from frankincense and myrrh, and we put it in a jar with, I try to get the very best olive oil I can find. Last batch is from Italy. I'd love to get some Israeli olive oil. And We macerate. I macerate it. I press it. And I actually roll it in between linen and I press it out. And then I put it in the olive oil and we let it sit for 50 days. And again, you know, there'd be a whole teaching within that. Why 50 days? And that's the way they would do it. And so what we're doing is we're trying, you know, we're trying to redo it this way. And it, so it's not an essential oil. It hasn't been extracted with steam. But what happens at the end of those 50 days, then I pour off and strain that frankincense and that myrrh. And now I have an infusion of a frankincense and myrrh, and I can pour it and use it on the skin or, you know, do a massage with it. I also like to take it and put some beeswax with it and make it into a salve and make it, you know, it's just great. Smells wonderful. And it hasn't been distilled, but it still smells wonderful like frankincense and myrrh. And then I like to take the ground pieces of the frankincense and myrrh and make a salve on that, so it's more like a scrub, so you can scrub and exfoliate with that. So that's just one of the ways they did it in ancient times, and we are bringing that back and doing that with what we're doing here at Runic Remedy. So the historical references to distillation of essential oils are in a time period for about the last 1,000 to 1,500 years since the exodus of Israel from Egypt. Now, given the exodus may have occurred in, now this was a process that I had before I learned that they actually did not distill. They were doing maceration and infusions, basically. And they actually would use wool and or linen to, when they did heat like a clay pot and it, the, you know, the vapors or oils would rise and it would be caught in that linen or in the wool. And then they would wring out the linen or the wool to extract the oils. Now, okay, so just bear with me. I'm going to read through this because I know it's a little bit wrong. I have to correct it. So we have... The best I have studied, and saying I could be wrong, because I know there's all kinds of differences out there, but we believe that the Exodus occurred around 1491 BC, and we know that shortly thereafter, Israel built a mishkan and used the shemen tov, or the good anointing oil, as is in Scripture. Therefore, they had to have extracted essential oils using some process. And again, I've learned it's more by infusion and distillation than, infusion or maceration than it was from distillation, because actual distillation, from what we can tell, did not occur at that time with the Israelites. But they used this process of maceration and infusion to make the anointing oil, the shemen tov. Now, we also know that Queen Cleopatra traded goods and spices with King Solomon. And of course, spices include, you know, the frankincense and the myrrh could be in the raw form before they, you know, extract or make them or express them or however they're going to process them. Or it could be the product after, you know, they've made it into something that was very usable. And again, remember, they used it as incense, so they would burn it also. So it wasn't just, you know, put into an oil or an ointment. It is believed that she knew about distillation, which, of course, this is after the Exodus, that Cleopatra knew about that. And she had actually supposedly written an account of this, but it has become a lost account. So I guess evidently there's some historical references that she knew about the distillation process with spices and stuff, and she wrote about it, and then the documents have been destroyed. And we do know, if you study history, there are many books, and I can't remember the name, but there was even a place in Britain, the people of the covenant, where I think it was Alexander the Great went in, and they destroyed massive libraries of these historical documents. So, nevertheless, many references point to a chemist from Egypt named Zosimol and his sister Theosobia for being the first inventors of different types of stills around the time of 3 AD. Others give credit for early distillation to the Persian Arab physician, alchemist, mathematician named Avicenna. And he was during the time of 980 to 1037 AD, who is noted to have used an apparatus called an alembic, not sure how to pronounce that, but it's A-L-E-M-B-I-C for distillation. Perhaps part of the problem for not including Israel as a major player in the world of distillation or essential oils is in the definition of distillation. It is a certain type of distillation or extraction process that we may be, you know, bickering over, that is defining that the key players in the history of essential oils. Again, the question is, are we focused on distillation? But we certainly know they used the Shemen Tov, and they used the resin, like in the case of stopping the plague. So they used the herbs, they used the oils in different forms from early times. Nevertheless, I just find it disheartening that most historical references ignore the use of ancient Israel's anointing oil, which, of course, you know, many essential oil references and herbs go, you know, they're run by people who really don't believe in God or are totally anti-God and anti-Israel. Because, you know, there was definitely recorded uses during the time of the Mishkan and the Wilderness Tabernacle and Solomon's Temple. I have not yet been able to locate document sources, but I understand that ancient Israel extracted distilled essential oils by heating the clay pots. And again, I've been told about these, and I think some of it's in the Talmud, but I don't read the language of the Talmud, because the Talmud has very detailed instructions when it comes to the anointing oil and the incense, and, you know, even how to butcher an animal kosher. And so we have the Bible and the Torah, but we don't have those details that, you know, the Kohen, we know they did this, but we don't have the actual details, because that was something that was kept within each family and was passed down, you know, from father to son in the families. There was one particular family who did the incense, excuse me. Yes. So one particular family, it wasn't, you know, just a Kohen family. It was one particular family of the Kohens that was passed down from generation to generation. Joseph Good did a really good teaching on that. And you can read those. Excuse me. Again, the smoke. Sorry. Okay, so we only have about 5 minutes left, but we will start. Hopefully we'll come back and finish this again later. We will go into some of the extraction processes of how we get an essential oil or the lifeblood or fluid of a plant to use for medicinal purposes. And we've already established in other teachings and newsletters, and a teaching that I actually just took offline that we're going to end up selling because it brings too much attention from the powers to be that I was teaching about. So, and you guys who follow herbs and oils, you know who I'm talking about. They're wanting to investigate and shut people down. So we are going to do that teaching and probably have it available for sale and not put it up on the website anymore for free on how to get your Livingstone's Tabernacle out of her. And so one of the very first methods is called an absolute, and there is another one called an enfleurage. This method is considered to be one of the oldest techniques for extracting essential oils, particularly from delicate flowers. Now, on a side note, it has been brought to my attention that some of the most healing oils to the physical body are resins and woods, which is interesting because, you know, they're mostly taken from the bark, the outline, skin, or protection of a strong upright tree, the strong body, and what comes from the trees, what comes from the resin of the trees is what are some of the most powerful oils used, like frankincense and myrrh, for the physical body and the physical skin. So like the tree skin for our skin and for our bones, for, you know, kind of like carrots look like eyes and they're good for the eyes. So it's kind of amazing how Father made these things. And so, but the oils or the plants that are known to really touch and heal the emotions and the spirit of someone is the flowers, the delicate flowers that are very healing and uplifting and mood changing for the spirit and for the emotions of a person. And so those are things that we, you know, we look at and we need to consider. I've been a person in the past who focused mostly on physical body healing. And it took me a while to, you know, get out of that whole mindset of it's just new agey to use herbs or oils for emotional or spiritual healing. And yet, through the last 8 years, I see it in the scriptures now, and I see it being used over and over. And of course, it was used in the tabernacle, it was used for praise and worship. It was used to clear the mind and the physical body and the mind and the emotions to put a person in a place to want to worship or to be able to worship. It is said that if you don't smell, you're actually inhibited in the spirit realm, in your emotional spiritual realm, because the nose and the ability to smell is that connection to the spirit and to the emotions, to the body. It's a spirit connection to the heavenlies, is through our olfactory system. And so it's very important. And just stop and consider, when you smell something bad, you remember it. It makes you sick physically. You can even have memories of something smelling bad, but you can also have memories of something smelling good. And it changes our chemistry and our emotions and everything within us. So we will have to come back again some other time to finish this up, of course, because we are just now getting into these different ways. But the method of Absolute and or in this particular case Enfleurage was a very costly method because it's very labor intensive, and of course you have to have thousands of pounds of flower petals to make just a little bit of drops of oil. Okay. And it's noted that up to 2,205 pounds of tuberose blossoms yield only 1.76 pounds. That's 2,205 pounds of those tuberose blossom, those petals, yield only 1.6 pounds of shimmin, essential oil. So that's pretty incredible. So, anyway, again, we hope to see you at Sukkot. My shows are going to be pre-recorded for the next probably 8 weeks at least. I'll be traveling. Please contact me if you need me via email especially. And again, don't forget that coupon code Sukkot, all uppercase, S-U-K-K-O-T, 2015. If you see or don't see what you want or need, just ask us and we will do our best to fill that. And we pray that you all have a wonderful, blessed Sukkot. And that you will press in and endure during these times and these tribulations and trials and fires, literally and physically and spiritually. May your garments always be white, and may your head lack no shimon. Shalom.